Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What the fuck is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 23rd of June. We are in the new office right now. You might notice it if you're watching it on the old YouTubes. There hopefully will be a YouTube video this week. Last week, we did a whole pile of talking, me and Maureen, and I didn't realize that the camera cut out, and I don't know what the fuck it was. It might have been, I've been informed it might have been too warm, you know, son of a bitch camera being like, I'm too warm. And then it stops working. Are you fucking joking me? I thought you were from Japan. Get used to the humidity. Very humid. Anyhow, we're in the new office. Yeah, we've got a bit of a bit different backdrop. And as usual, they don't call me fucking 15 attempts get us for nothing. We're in this little sound booth area because, you know, the office is giant. So I had to get this this little booth made. It's not that small, but I realize on camera, it probably doesn't look as good and as simple. You know, you want it to look nice and simple. So we will be returning to the white brick background. It has been ordered and all of this artwork will get stripped away. And I'll just have it in the garage, or in the garage. I'll have it in the office in a different area, but I won't have it behind me because it just busies the shot. And, you know, it keeps a bit of uniform. Bit of a uniform look to it. When you're scrolling through the old YouTube, you go, oh, that's Colin Geddes' one because it's white and it's got the red General Banter logo. I'm familiar. You know, I don't want to go through that period of like, it changed and it was, I didn't like it. Even sometimes when things change for the better, people are like, I didn't like it. So it'll be returning to the white. It really affects the light and stuff. It makes everything look nice. But the whole interior of this booth will be with the white brick, the fake white bricks, which means when I have multiple guests and we have multiple camera angles, you know, and it's a wider shot, the whole area will be the same pattern and it'll be like being in the Matrix, you know, the bit when he's teaching them all the shit and it's all white. It's like a white vacuum. That's what it's going to be like. So that's arriving on Thursday. So the next podcast you see might well be me and Mickey Bartnett. Probably in the same background because I'll not get anything done to it more than likely to the weekend. But cheers for bearing with me, Patreon people. I know there are people out there paying for stuff. It is odd to be going, guys, get over to Patreon for bonus material whenever we have missed out on bonus material last week because technically I was in between two recording spaces and just didn't have anywhere to fucking record. So but do bear with me. Do bear with me, bear with me. Going full Boris on it. Because once we get fully moved in here, we've had a few hiccups. And once again, the thing that was making it difficult to podcast by myself was it's a one-man show. It's me doing everything. And with this move, it's kind of similar. I'm doing most of the shit myself. And it just takes as long as it takes in 3-4 hour bursts before I have to return to my child. So ruining everything with fucking children. What I will say about children is they're marvellous. They give you more than you give them. And it makes you a better person. It makes you a selfless person. And however, you will not be able to do anything that you want when you want it for the rest of your life. Patreon.com/GeneralBanter Podcast. We're going to introduce some tiers for like just to get through the door and then an extra tier for extra shit. That should be in effect next week. I hope whenever we get the ball rolling, whenever I'm able to go to you, if you listen to this podcast, it's on YouTube for free. It's on Spotify for free. And if you want more, you pay into the Patreon and you'll get this. And if you pay a certain level, you get all of this shit. Do you know what I'm saying? So we'll work on that. What else have we got going on? ColinGeddes.com for merch. I haven't really been posting about it much. You know, the state of the world these days. it seems a bit obnoxious in the middle of, you know, the world being on fire and the middle of a race riot that I would be going,
guys, we just sold out of the General Banter live t-shirt.
Which is remarkable considering we haven't had a live podcast this year. But I do appreciative. It's fucking dope. It's dope and sick and all those other words. It's lethal. So they sold out. The camo hat sold out. I just like changing it up. I've put in an order for more stuff, and it's going to be a slightly different look again. So we're just keeping it moving, man. We're keeping it gangster. We're bringing in a nice white t-shirt with the Red General thing on it for the summer. So it's all available there. And of course, I'll be posting about it whenever it becomes available. And of course, the SSE gig, those tickets are still on sale. They went on sale. We sold a big chunk of them. And then, of course, you know, cops be murdering people. And once again, everyone's trying to run a business, but sometimes it just seems that there are bigger issues in the world than me selling SSE tickets. So at some point, well, there'll be a second wave and promotion of that you will see. So let's play. Anyway, play a fucking intro and we'll get stuck in. We'll talk about some shit. And by shit, I mean rippy comedians. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul. Colin Jettis. It's Jettis, actually. Jettis. 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 Fuck you. One observation I have made about this office right away is obviously the weather outside right now. I mean, by the way, I left the house at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 8 o'clock now in the office. I'm recording. There's something about getting up that early where you feel like you've been up all day already. It's not even half eight yet, and I'm like, I'm knackered. I'm on this fitness regime. Shout out to Tim Gallagher, world famous Tim from the Dirt Civil podcast that Aaron did with him until Aaron found his own feet and fucking ditched him like a piece of shit. I'll wind him up about that forever. He has his own podcast as well. But I'm doing a bit of a 12-week thing with him. And if I'm being fully honest with myself, the first week is like, track your calories. And it's one of the things, my life is very like, I'm doing well until I'm not doing well. And when there's any sort of mild celebration or someone's birthday or someone's put on a lovely spread, motherfuckers be losing their shit around here. You know, the big man's tucking right into the halloumi. The honey halloumi. Who invented honey halloumi? Satan? Oh, I see you're trying to lose some weight there, Colin. Here's sweet, chewy salt. Unbelievable. And then the second week, I was to keep the calories under 2,500. And once again, there was a drinking session thrown in there. So two of 12 weeks, not wasted, but certainly not as tight as I'd like it to be. I've done that thing where I've went, okay, I'm paying for this. I'm doing the workouts. The workouts are hectic. So I'm doing a lot of lifting, trying to get 10,000 steps every day. Some days it's harder than others. Some days I drive a lot and you're just like, I can't do this. But if I'm sitting at about six or seven on a day where I also have a workout, I'm happy enough. I know that's probably not good enough just yet. But what I'm saying is, I went to leave the house this morning and I was like, right, okay. Here's what I'm gonna have. I was like, I'm gonna have bacon. It's the little rashers with no fat on it. I'm gonna chop that up very nice and fine. I'm gonna throw it in a pan. I'm gonna put a couple of eggs in there, swish it up with some spinach, and then I'll have a wrap. You know, a nice wholemeal wrap. This is quite a high calorie breakfast, but I was like, it'll do me. I'll eat early and that'll fucking do me. I go downstairs, I go, shit, there's no bacon. There's black pudding though. And I go, okay, we'll fucking have 90 grams of that. It's probably 700 calories. Throw it in the pan. Throw two eggs in. Go to get the whole grain wrap. There isn't any. So I just have two bits of white bread. So essentially, starting off well, it was like, I'm going to eat healthily. And then I end up just eating something that, you know, a fucking burger van would scrape up from the side of their hot plate. You know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, wash it down with an apple. So fuck knows what that is. When I put it into the old MyFitnessPal, and it's like, your goal today is such and such grams of fat, and you've had 30 times that already. You fat bitch. But anyway, the workouts are going crazy, and it took me about a week. The first week I was fucked. Like I would do the workouts and walk around and limp about and fucking be like, oh, my back's sore and all. Then you get a bit more conditioned to it, and then third week now I started being big work, long workouts, man. You know, long fucking workouts, two like superset, or you know, you're supersetting two exercises, and there's like four rounds of those, and they're all like, you know, 4 times 12 reps, and it just takes forever. You know, it takes me a minute to find, you know, it's like, oh, what's your 70% fucking squat? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. 70% for how many reps? Because you start, you know, I start putting the weight on. I'm like, down and up. And then I was like, right, okay, get the 100. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, do I really want to be doing fucking, like 40 odd fucking reps of this weight? So I took it down about 80. And there's people out there probably going, Colin, you sound like a bitch. But you know what? 80K, was it 4 times 12? I'll take that. Because in between that, I'm doing fucking lunge or like split squat things with the dumbbells, the 22.5K dumbbells. Bro, my fucking ass was about to pop off. Not in a diarrhea way. I'd done so many fucking squats, my calves were sore. I was like, what the? I've never had this. And then that took me fucking 25 minutes or so. And then I was like, okay, here's the next set of exercises. So by the time I got to the end of it, I was just like, I have zero energy whatsoever. I've never felt hunger like it in my life. And you're probably going, yeah, well, that's quite obvious looking at you. But there's something about those big, big fucking like shock to the body fucking workouts where your body thinks it's dying and you're just like huge muscle groups, like big squat and more fucking legs. And then fucking push press above your head into like some other bullshit. And by the end of it, your body's like, you're sweating, but you're cold, but you're like, And then I fucking got a shower and I was just like, I'm going to die. Maureen had to make me porridge. Now I'm supposed to get used to that without eating black pudding in the morning. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm going to get to this. You know, it's supposed to be like, yeah, 12 week shred. Cut your calories, be in a deficit, whatever. And I'm going to get to the end and just, they'll be like, oh, well, you've gained, you know, 25 pounds of muscle. And I'll be like, all right. You haven't lost any fucking weight whatsoever. You look a bit better, but you're fucking 2 stone heavier. That's what the story's going to be. So that's what happened. That's what's happening. More boring fitness stories. But at least I'm staying accountable this time. I've got a call with Tim at 10 o'clock here, and he'll be like, man, you're eating too many man, I'm not giving you these workouts for the crack, you fat bitch. Maybe you could just, what do people eat? You know, what do people eat for breakfast? If it's not eggs, if I swear to God, if I eat porridge, which most people do, they're like, man, I love my porridge, y'all. I'll eat that shit, and fucking 2 minutes later, I'm like, do I eat that again, or what's the crack? Big man's got to get about fucking 4 eggs in him. Before we can make our way to 11 o'clock. Or I just don't eat anything. I need about one. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but we'll see. I'm 6 pounds lighter. I don't know what that means. On someone as heavy as me, not much. But we gotta start shifting some poundage, man. I'm at the office today. I've had my breakfast. I don't have any food with me, so I'm more than likely just not fucking eat till I get home later. But that's dangerous too, because then I'll go mad. But here, there's no harm in eating 15 cod fillets, is there? So that's the scenario. We're in the new office. Once again, this is a lesson in life, guys. You get excited about a thing and you fucking put so much emphasis on it, and then you think it's going to be, as soon as I get to this point, goosh, we're off to the races. And that's not the way life works, guys. You know, you build yourself up. You set yourself up for a failure. Things just happen when they happen. So we're in the office. There's no, you know, Niall, who was supposed to start with us, he had a bit of a thing issue going on there. He couldn't start till Thursday. So, you know, that was a bit of a problem. And then, you know, he come up. I think I'm going to just launch straight into the podcast. There is a setting up time. Like even today, I was here by myself. It took me about an hour before I sat down and recorded this. Farting about. You know? But here we are. And gradually, we'll build it up. I came down here yesterday with Maureen. You know, we had 2 or 3 arguments and then went home. Absolutely no point in coming down. Kieran Bartlett did call down with a beautiful hamper for Maureen because he was like, listen, I'm not even on social media and I didn't even fucking realise till like the start of the lockdown that you were even unwell. And I was like, well, that's social media for you. And he brought a big hamper. He brought fucking toys for the child, which is nice, but fuck you for buying a xylophone. Got your child a toy. He's fucking all fucking day. Kids love things that make noises. You know, if you go to feed them like broccoli and they're like, I don't like that. If it went like, oh, and had a siren, they'd be like, I love that shit. Saying that, this is Eddie. He'd take your arm off no matter what. He's getting that way now. It's crazy. He's like, what is he, 7, 8 months? You know, last night when I was talking about eating porridge, he comes up and he fucking was asleep and woke up like, are you eating something? I believe I heard a spoon hit a bowl there and I wasn't notified. Have you anything going? Fucking full bushy, has a bit of hair at the side. I'm fully asleep, like, doing all this shit. Any porridge on the go? What's the crack, mate? What's the crack? Any porridge? Huh? So I do believe I heard the fucking spoon hit the bowler. I don't want to cause any trouble, but there's any food for a wee man? What's the crack, no? And he looks around a bit and, nah. Straight back to sleep. You rustle. So he's like a dog, you know what I mean? You're like a rustle bag of crisps.
Is that for me?
No. You wait till tomorrow when we feed you fucking ready. I mean, honestly, I spoke about this before. Some of the meals we're giving them, you know, you're heating up fucking sweet potato mash and like wee mashed up beans with a wee tiny bit of cheese on it. And you're fucking, is that warm enough? And you taste it and you're like, hey, come on now. You'd be happy enough just with a wee carrot stick, wouldn't you? While daddy eats this whole tub with one spoonful like that. Blah. Put that in your fucking MyFitnessPal.
Put that in your MyFitnessPal.
Sarky bastard.
This has 30 grams of sugar.
I don't know if 30 grams of sugar is... Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
Your daily target is 5. Enjoy eating ice cubes with the fucking chopsticks, you born bastard.
It's so... Losing weight, man's tough because realistically, a lot of people could fucking hit their goals in about 12 weeks if they just actually did it. And it's tough, you know, if you have any sort of fucking life, you're just like, this is tough. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. It was Father's Day there, which I read online. Somebody was like, the amount of online activity for Father's Day versus Mother's Day is astonishing. You know, insinuating that not a lot of a big deal was made for the Mother's Day. I don't know what that is. I think people are maybe just looking for an excuse to party during the lockdown, and Mother's Day happened sort of around just right before the lockdown really kicked in. And Father's Day is in the middle of it, and people are just like, yes, I love my dad. And of course, because it's Tuesday, you know, it's today, everyone's fucking triggered, safe space, you know, fucking flexitarian. And you can't offend anybody, so you have to go like, happy Father's Day to those who recognize it as an actual day. Those who don't have their fathers, don't speak, have a good relationship with their fathers, don't know their fathers, you know, have suffered abuse from their fathers, have had their fathers killed in a crazy sort of, you know, fireball incident, just remember that someone just made this day up. That's the way you can sleep, you know.
I hope you have a lovely Christmas. And, you know, Santa's good to you, and you sit around with your family, blah-de-blah. And if you don't have any of those things or you're a different religion, just remember it's not real anyway. So, whatever you want to do on the 25th of December, just fucking sit there and eat celebrations.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Happy Father's Day, unless you can't, what do you call it? What do you call that? You can't celebrate it today. Stroke. And then in that case, it's fake. All right. But anyway, it was my first Father's Day as a father. And I got up with a baby in the morning. And Maureen, every once in a while, if the stars align, I'll get up and just take him. If I've nothing to do, really, with immediacy, I'll get him up and I'll just mess about with him, play with him, let Maureen have a lie in, you know? Because a lot of the time, you don't even lie in. Sometimes if your partner gets the baby and takes them away and they're like, just you lie on. You just fucking lie there on your phone because there's no pressure. You're just like, great. I don't have to be fully alert for an hour. So she lay on and then she lay on a bit more and then she lay on a bit more. And I was like, fuck, she's really catching up on the old sleeps there. And it was about 12:30. And then she came down and she was like, oh, happy Father's Day. And she had a wee card that she'd made from Eddie, drew around his hand. And she was like, that was a nightmare. And then there was a little key ring that said Daddy and Eddie. And it was like a big bear and a wee bear. And I was like, oh my God. And then the reason she'd been in bed that long was she was trying to make a video on her phone, which, you know, like her, like she's obviously was, you know, very highly trained makeup artist, accomplished makeup artist, and probably still could be if she decided to be tomorrow. But her making me a video was like me trying to, you know, do makeup on her before she wakes up, that sort of thing. So she made a little video, but it was very, very sweet now. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't quite emotionally ready for it when I seen it, because it was all, had all these wee messages in it, like, you know, oh, you're a strong dad, and, you know, and then just all these little pictures of things that I forgot about, like whenever she went in the hospital the first time, just after Eddie had been born, and she had a blood clot in her arm because of the lymphoma. And we were basically living in the hospital. And I, like, there's a picture of me giving Eddie his first bottle because she had to stop breastfeeding. And oh, that seems like, you know, we got a good bit of work done and then that happened. This was like, what was it, like 9 days after or something? And I'm trying to feed him with a bottle and fucking, there's a photo there. There's a photo of all these photos that I'd sent her while she was in hospital. You know, me with Eddie on the sofa. We ended up sleeping on the sofa. Just because it was easier to be downstairs. You know, send her all these photos, or like me in the hospital. And I forgot about all this. Your mind just fucking wipes it out. But like me sitting on a chair in a hospital. There was a week we had to spend in the gynae ward because she had to go into hospital while they're doing a bit of, you know, tests and stuff. But she obviously had a new baby, so she couldn't be away from the baby. So the baby had to come with her. But then they can't, in the gynae ward, they can't take responsibility for the baby. So another adult has to be there. So, well, which is obviously going to be me, for fuck's sake. So I'm sitting there on a fucking laptop on a pillow with the baby on my shoulder. No doubt putting a fucking podcast up or something. Trying to do that. Which is when I seen it, I was just like, isn't this mental? That I would just be sitting there trying to fucking do some work whilst holding a fucking very young baby. I mean, that was probably the toughest week of the whole thing, to be honest. You know, just getting no sleep, trying to sleep on a chair, getting up, just being feeling stinking because you hadn't showered. And then, like, getting dirty looks from everybody because men aren't allowed on this ward, essentially. So you're like, what the fuck are you doing here? What's this drug dealer doing walking through here? You know, and you're trying to learn how to fucking put nappies on still. The baby's just shitting and pissing all over the place. Nightmare. But anyway, I've seen that. It was very emotional. It was very emotional now. And I was in a bad mood because I was already in a bad mood because all I wanted was to go get some sort of brunch. And that's the only thing that's really annoying me about the whole lockdown is that the big man can't get a fucking smashed avocado with an egg on it. That's pissing me off. And on that day, I was like, I want Maureen to get up. I want her to mind the baby for a second. I'll go to the shop, get us some nice bread and an egg, and we'll make a nice wee brunch, make some nice coffee. But she didn't get up to fucking 12:30. So when she came down the stairs, I was about to be raging. I was about to be like, what, for fuck's sake, I haven't even taken a piss yet. I haven't had a cup of tea or coffee or nothing. And she's like, oh, sorry, I was up there editing a video for you. And I was like, oh, I don't know. If you knew you were awake, I would have been like, just can you sit down here? Do you have a fucking But then the video, you know, I couldn't be mad after seeing the video. But it was nice being a, you know, first Father's Day and all that shit. But much like Christmas, I'd say it's only kind of cute, you know, first couple of years. And then after a while, it's just like, whatever. And then it's probably only fun again once your children are grown up and are working and are earning money. And then they're like, oh, you're the best daddy. And then they make you like take you out for dinner and buy you presents and stuff. So I'll enjoy it at the minute. And then after a few years, it's, you know, it better fucking pick up. Now, great times. That was nice things to talk about. Had a lovely week. Don't know why the weather's pissing down. It's pissing me off. Let's talk about rapey comedians. I put a tweet up the other day and it said that do you think priests are sitting around in cafes writing jokes about comedians? Because that's the way it's going. I don't know. The list of fucking creepy comedians is as long as their erect cocks. And I, you know, it's no fucking news to me that a lot of comedians are fucking nuts. You know, there's something in them where they want attention. You know, they're a bunch of ugly fuckers who all they've got going for them is that they're funny. You know, a lot of them are probably like, that's how I pull chicks, man. I pull chicks by being a funny guy. And then you do get the odd, you know, thing where it's somebody like Chris D'Elia, where he's probably not a bad looking guy, keeps himself in shape, does a lot of cutesy comedy that appeals to women. And they're queuing up like fucking, oh my God, you're so funny. And he's like, suck my cock in a hotel room. And they're all like, oh, okay. A lot of them, I mean, no doubt thousands of them were very, very keen to gobble that knob. But yeah, so he hasn't made a statement. There hasn't been much development since, which is probably what you do. These days, you just don't fucking react to a thing. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see this. I haven't seen this yet. This is Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino's response to Chris D'Elia accusations.
Tuesday, something happened that was just as shocking and terrifying to me.
Yeah, same.
I want people to know that I don't know what I don't know. The news that you received Tuesday is the same exact new information
that we received. Yeah, we were not privy to any of that stuff and did not know. And we found out when you found out.
I think that that kind of behavior is abhorrent. I resent it. And it's not good.
No, it was awful and shocking and very, quite frankly, taken us all aback. I mean, we called each other and, you know, you sit in disbelief because you don't know. We don't know this stuff, and we're finding this stuff out at the same time. People are throwing around questions to everybody. Terrible. We don't know.
I haven't we haven't slept. I mean,
and what just, we know now, is it's really disappointing. It's really sad, and I think all we can say is we hope he gets help, mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's all we can say. I mean, I like, you know,
this is all very weird because
I think, Brennan, we have to at least talk about this. You guys, if you follow the news.
They're all fucking...
I'm going to say it again. I have personally...
Gurning about it.
It's a weird thing because I said to Brennan, I said, it's like...
These cunts are crying. Now.
You know, it's like watching someone die or something. And also, it's just... you know, what's important...
See, the thing is, like, they all get on, like, a, you know, a house on fire and they're all very funny and whatever. How many of them are sort of like, oh, yes, listen, I'm a bit of a fucking creep too, but... We'll keep it quiet, and I'll pretend that I'm upset too. The Brendan Schaub thing, he literally just looks like a big fucking innocent kid. He's just like, I'm my friend who fucks children. But again, it's just like, there hasn't been really much development. Obviously, he hasn't said anything. We which is just probably you speak to your lawyer and all, and they go, yeah, don't say a fucking word. But I don't know. It's just weird as shit, isn't it? I mean, a lot of these guys are acting like where they're like, right, I had a good friend who obviously knew that he fucking got the ride a fair bit, but nobody knew that when he was, you know, in fucking hotel rooms, he was messaging young girls and trying to get them to the fucking hotel room and stuff. You see, I mean, you could, not that you're trying to, you're just trying to figure it out. That's all you're trying to do. Like, you know, if he was just a guy, he was, there was just girls constantly fucking coming back after gigs to his hotel room. And, you know, you see, even that, you're like, you know, if you're like, oh, what age are you? And they're like 17, you would just go like, get out of the room. What the fuck are you doing here? But it was because it was happening at an earlier stage than that in the grooming process where people were messaging, what age are you? 16. Fucking, that's so silly. Do you want to come to the hotel? It's almost like he knew or was into it or else just didn't give a fuck at all. It was just like, nah, listen, we're riding anyway. I'm a rich guy. No one gives a fuck. But a lot of these guys are literally just like, well, I don't know. I just don't know what to say. It would be weird. It's one way to just completely fucking shit everything away. Even if there hasn't been any person-to-person fucking abuse type thing, it's just like you were trying to solicit sex with a fucking, like, underage person. And Whitney Cummings put it, I forget the actual, I must actually look at the actual statement, bear with, because it was probably what me and Maureen were trying to, I mean, this is a common theme in this podcast, is I ramble through a bunch of shit and then I go, oh, I find that somebody else articulated this much better than I have tried to do. So, where is this fucking, oh yeah. This is from Whitney Cummings. It's taken me a couple of days to process the information I've learned about Chris. I'm devastated and enraged by what I've read and learned. This is a pattern of predatory behavior. This abuse of power is enabled by silence. Now that I'm aware, I won't be silent. Girls should be able to be a fan of a comedian they admire without becoming a sexual target. It's the adult's responsibility to be an adult. That's basically the point we were trying to fucking get to the other day. It was like, you can make all these arguments and play devil's advocate and be like, oh, I wonder, was there like fucking five girls come back to his room? One of them was whatever. Or he's talking to this girl and after a while he finds out she's 17 or something like that. At a certain point, you have to go, bro, you know that you're famous and you know that there's a bunch of girls acting real silly around you. You have to kind of know that and be like, yeah, do you know what? Calm down. We both know you're very hot and eager, but yeah, I probably shouldn't be fucking messaging you saying that I'm 40 years old. That's the weird bit. The weird bit is that you're supposed to take responsibility and be like, yeah, I see what's going on here. There's a bunch of fucking crazy wee girls going mad here. And I'm sure there isn't a famous person, really famous person who, where it's like, you haven't had sort of scenarios like that, you know. Say you're a fucking musician on tour, you know, there's girls waiting around the side of the fucking venue before you get on the bus, and you know, how many times do people go, yeah, come on for a fucking drink? The guy's getting sucked off by like fucking 15 people. I'm sure it happens a lot, but you have to sort of take responsibility at some point and go like, right, enough. You know, even for your own self fucking preservation. Even if you could bang a string of very willing 18-year-olds, you're still 40. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, move on a wee bit. I'm sure if you're doing that much fucking riding, you can get a couple of fucking 25-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just fucking, it's just grim. And it's freaky because it's your business, you know. He's also a comedian. And there's just so many fucking creepy comedians now. That you're just getting to the point where you're like, are people just automatically gonna assume that you're a fucking weirdo until you prove yourself unweird? It might just turn into that sort of Catholic Church thing where like everyone's just like, oh, you're a comedian. You know, you mentioned something. What do you do? I'm a comedian. into the young ladies, I see. And you're like, well, no, I've been in the same relationship for 10 years. So it's fucking just weird. And then it needs to happen to a lot of things, you know, Me Too movement, and a lot of women felt safe then that they could speak, and then a lot of fucking things start coming out of the woodworks. And then, is that even a term, coming out of the woodwork? I don't know. Coming out of the wood, I don't know. You know, there was a comedian down south. I don't even know the contact, but I can't even remember his fucking name now. But a girl came out saying that, I don't even know what it was. I think it was just like they were in a very abusive relationship, and he was a fucking cunt and was like sending her videos of him fucking getting sucked off by other girls and just being very manipulative and sort of just being a real fucking cock. And then people were like, yeah, you gotta boycott these gigs and he's a fucking piece of shit and everything. And I don't know whether he was like running a gig and was sort of using that as like, you know, hold it over people, trying to get things from them because he ran a gig or something, which is an idea I never thought of with Lavery's. I tell you what, though, I could probably get a bunch of dudes to fucking suck me off for 10 minutes. And that's a fact. I just love, I'm also like, what world is this happening in? You know, Crystal Lee, oh man, he's got too many girls coming up to him after gigs. Some of them are 17. What? Oh, this guy was like, you know, blackmailing all these girls, you know, trying to, or like, you know, tricking them into getting gigs by fucking, you're like, where's all this happening? It's obviously happening. You turn up the Lavery's and you've got fucking 12 ugly, fat, fucking hairy dudes being like, man, can I get 10 minutes next week? Sure. Can I get sucked off or anything? It's wild. But anyway, there was a comedy club down south, and they were like, listen, we don't tolerate any of this bullshit. We're gonna, you know, if we're gonna make it a safe place for women, we're gonna make it a safe place for, you know, disabled people and fucking queer people and trans people. It's gotta be safe for everyone. And if anyone's found doing, like, you know, any sort of dodgy material, racist, sexist, you know, ableist, whatever, then they're not welcome at the club. And I was like, okay, that's a bit too far. That's a bit too far. I think you can't go that far, because unless this is just the beginning of the end for comedy. I've heard other people say it at the minute. They're just like, comedy is getting to the place where it's like, it was one of the few last places where you could speak like real freedom of speech. And people are going to start bringing in these sort of rules, like, okay, you can't be seen publicly talking about race. I know that's gonna I've done racial material, but it might get to the point where it's like, okay, you can't even bring that up now because you're a white guy. You can't even talk about, you know, how much bigger you might be than a Vietnamese guy or something. Yeah, it might just get to that place where, like, okay, you're white privileged, so you can't speak on anything racial. And then that'll lead to something else, and then there'll be no point in doing comedy anymore. You'll just be like, well, if I can't do any of that shit, what sort of fucking safe space horseshit are you going to go watch now? Have I to tell you up front, like, hey, come to my comedy show, we're going to be talking about biscuits, dogs, fucking getting stuck in traffic and airplanes. And people go, it's like a menu for comedy. They go, oh yeah, I like that. I like biscuits comedy. And they turn up, can't wait to hear his biscuits bit. Oh my God, I had a brilliant biscuits bit. And I'll just be like, well, what's happening here? But yeah, creepy bastards. I'll never do that. This is the thing with comedy. It's fairly like, The crowd let you know immediately if a thing is, like, acceptable or not. You don't need the promoter going, guys, can you show me your sets? Has anyone got any racial material? Anyone got any whatever? Anyone got any this? Are you going to mention trans people? Are you going to, you know, you can't really have that because it'll be shit. You have to let someone go up and make a few mistakes. And then you go, oh, that was a bit too far. Right, okay, fuck, I'm not doing that again. I've done it. I've said things and then went, okay, that's not even as funny as I thought it might be, so I'll just not do it. But it's turned into a weird thing. And also, I think this sort of world of consent and whatever, it's going to, I can see that going down a weird path where it's like anytime there's any sort of power discrepancy or something, people are going to be like, well, that's abuse. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, can a fucking employee legit fall in love and marry a person who was their boss? You know, if you were running a comedy club and you were a single person, male or female, and you fucking sort of started going with someone else, male or female, or other, who was trying to get gigs in your thing, you know, does that become weird then? Anytime there's someone like in a position above you, for want of a better term, is that going to be like an abuse of power? Who the fuck knows? You're not allowed to initiate a chat with a female because you're, you know, a white privileged male who's physically stronger, even though people argue with you and tell you that men are not physically stronger. Anyway, let's watch him crying again. What a bitch.
I haven't spoken to Chris.
No.
And
I mean, it's funny that like you're bound to have a few mates where if something horrendous came out about them, you would just be like, well, what can you do? Do you know what I mean? Well, they've done so much other gnarly shit where you're like, well, not surprised really about it. I don't know. When Lavery's kicks back off, I will tell you this. You will get gigs if you are good enough at comedy. Are you judging me on my ability? Yes, I am ableist. If you're not able to get laughs, you're not able to do Lavery's. And that does not depend on anything, any other factors. Your gender, your fucking, do you know what? If you were fucking racist and ableist and funny, you'd probably get gigs. Do you know what I mean? That's where we are. I've just decided. There's loads of comedians, and you watch those top 100 comedians in the UK, and all people are like, oh, Bernard Manning's on there now. He's a racist fucking bastard. Racist, fat, fucking melted candle. But the cunt could tell a joke. And then Caroline Hearn got her on that show and fucking ripped him apart. You're a big fat racist cunt. So yeah, I listened to Sam Tripoli talking about it, and he was like, listen, you know, he has that Tinfoil Hat podcast, Never Done, talking about, like, there's all these fucking paedophile rings and the Epsteins and the fucking Clintons, and they've got these planes and they fucking, you know, they kidnap loads of, you know, orphans and fucking bring them to somewhere, and Jimmy Savile fucks them in the mouth and then they're never seen again because they just bury them in the sea, you know, and you're like, ah. And then he was talking about it and he goes, you know, this is a guy who was messaging underage girls. He's like, it's slightly predatory, but it's not like real nasty paedophilia. It's just like a guy trying to bang young girls who are willing to meet him. Not that that's any fucking better, but it's not that it's any better, but it's not as bad. I get that as a soundbite. Jesus Christ, what am I saying? But he was saying like all these, he kept calling blue check motherfuckers, all these ones in Hollywood who were shitting all over him, just like, ah, fuck this guy, he's a fucking creep. And loads of people being like, ah, he's not even fucking funny anyway, he's a fucking useless cunt. And he was like, this is the guy, he goes, you know, fucking a few weeks ago, you would have fucking let him piss on your face if you could open for him on the road. He's like, people lick this hole, something serious. This is the guy who, you know, you'll go on the same lineup as him and take the same money as him, even though, and enjoy the room full of people that you know are only there to see him and you're fucking happy enough to tag along. And then as soon as the shit hits the fan for them, they're like, ah, oh, you fucking unfunny dick, creepy bastard, and you deserve to have your fucking life taken away. Which is a fair point. Could be, the point he was making was there's new like, or there's no like due process going on. It's like, you know, can we just let this get taken care of after, you know, an investigation instead of everyone just jumping on him and fucking destroying him? He goes, you don't know if it's true or not. You don't know if it's photoshopped or what the fuck it is. And he goes, people only decide to like ruin the lives of people they don't like or something. I forget the way he put it. He goes, because are you gonna pull up Jim? Do you know what I nearly said there? Jimmy Seinfeld. What's the deal with sexy children? Now then. Huh? Because Seinfeld was pretty much openly walking around with a fucking 17-year-old. And this is the thing. Because people keep bringing this legality thing into it where they're like, oh, but it's legal in certain states. And people are like, yeah, it's legal, but if you're... It's legal to fucking get married at 17 in certain states or 16, but just because it's legal doesn't mean it's not predatory and creepy for a guy to be messaging a fucking young girl. But it is funny how a lot of those real creeps kind of know like the ins and outs of fucking, you know, consent ages in different states and whatnot. That happened in the what do you call that? Fucking, I'm getting all my fucking Jews mixed up here. What's his name? Epstein documentary. He was like, I'm getting charged for this and this, and he goes, it would be a misdemeanor fee in New York. He goes, you know, I'm up in court for this in this state, and in New York, this would be like a $60 fine, you know, for me stuffing a 16-year-old in a fucking boot coming out of school. But Seinfeld, my name's Jimmy Seinfeld. Let me jump in window of fucking children's hospital and French kiss a child. That was the worst bit of that whole documentary. The worst bit of that whole documentary was like some girl recalling this story where he'd opened the hospital and, you know, they were doing a walk around the hospital and he was the fucking hero. He probably only opened the fucking children's hospital so that he could abuse the children, which is like, you know, and people are like, man, it's cool. Michael Jackson just liked having fucking amusements at his house. Come on, bro. Seinfeld, 17-year-old. There we go. Top search. Remember, fuck. Excuse me, gross. Remember when 39-year-old Jerry Seinfeld dated a 17-year-old? Shoshana? Now, if someone said to me, my name's Shoshana, I'd be like, listen, it's fucking Sue. And that's how disrespectful I am. So yeah, they were going out whenever she was 17. Now, what I will say is, banging. Which is fucking, you know, is it? I mean, even when she's, what age is she now? Fucking 40 something? Yeah, I mean, you hate to make this argument. She looks like a fucking 32-year-old there. She looks like a hot, she looks like fucking, like he's walking along with like Kelly Brook. Is that her name? But then again, you're just like, with like social media taking it out of the picture, only because social media is about, people know that it's like, oh, it's creepy that this guy was, you know, these two might have met at a fucking, at a nice restaurant and had a chat and, you know, really hit it off. And then he's like, 17, oh, that's really young. You know, and they really hit it off. But then again, back in those days, you could be like, who's that waitress over there? He's like, oh, that's the daughter of the fucking owner. She's only 17. He's like, yeah, hand her this fucking napkin with my number on it. You know, takes her out in the fucking in the Rolls Royce, and she's like, oh my goodness. But there she is there, current day. Big Jan tits there, guys. Only when she's 40. Big Jan tits, though, when she was 17 there with Jerry Seinfeld, certainly didn't have giant tits hanging right out there. She didn't have those at all. But when she's 40 odd there, she still has giant, giant fucking sloppers and is very, very pretty. So there you have it. No further comment. But yeah, things move along and things change. And, you know, it's just one of them things. It's one of those shitty arguments where people could be like, oh, it was different then. I don't know. Maybe Seinfeld was like, man, she's fucking hot, and someone's like 17, and he's just like super nice to her. You know, you're very pretty. Maybe I'd love to take you out for dinner. Takes her out for dinner. You know, it's all fucking nice, and they have a fucking great relationship. And then eventually it just comes to an end, like a lot of relationships, and they're like, oh, well, he's a fucking nice guy. Maybe it's not Chris D'Elia going like, oh, you're 17. Come on into the room. And they're like, ah, I thought we're just here to meet. Yeah, I thought we're here for a party, and it's just you. And oh, I think we better leave. And then he's like, whips his dick out and goes, are you sure you want to leave? I don't think Seinfeld's doing that. The dick's not going to suck itself. Bloop. Kramer through the door. Did somebody say blowjobs? Bam, 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 bam. Oh, fuck's sake. Now then. I'm sliding in DMs. Wondering if you'd fancy going for dinner. And by dinner, I mean, I'm going to slide my wrinkly cock out the side of these silken shorts. Come up to the fucking... come up to the hotel room. I thought there's going to be a party. No, just me. I think I better leave. Let me pull my cock out. Are you sure you want to leave?
Yeah, that girl's wild hot. And, you know, the thing is, unfortunately, she's very hot when she's allegedly 17, and also very, very hot in modern day age. But yeah, don't expect me to call you Shoshana. I mean, full abs and also giant tits. I mean, we're getting to into that, but that's the rest of my morning taken care of. You know what I mean? See you at 10:30 a.m. I'm trying to organize shit on the side here. Anyway, we've talked a lot about creepy comedians. Creepy as fuck comedians. There's people out there, like everyone, ruining it for people. And you got to be very careful about what you do if you have any sort of power over people, or, you know, they look up to you. If anyone looks up to someone, you got to be careful. You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful what the fuck you're doing. What I will say is, if you DM me, I'm not answering you. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. Am I getting, you know, young girls in the fucking thing? Absolutely not. I'm not getting young girls in there. I'm getting a lot of people saying, you know, can you make me a video for nothing? You know, people are like, man, I've started a business where we're posting pints. We're pouring draft pints and we're posting them out to your house. Can you, during lockdown, can you fucking do, you know, can you talk about our business? We've got £30 here. That's the sort of shit I get. I get abuse. You know, people, that's always my argument for like, Colin, you've overstepped the line. You can say, you know, you can't really say whatever you want. Yeah, I can. Because the shit people say to me in DMs, I want to drive to their house and smash their face in. And if it's about me, I'll just about accept it. And if it's about my wife or family, bro, you bet I remember names, man. You know, I'll look where you live. You follow me. I'll turn up and I'll be, you know, I'll be like at the start of a gig in your local theater. I'll be like, by the way, is such and such here? And they put their hand up and they'll think it's a birthday surprise. And I'll be like, man, come down stage. And then I fucking end your life on stage. I remember things. Just getting abuse online. That's my DMs. The most
the most I've ever got online was somebody wrote under a thing. They went, is it weird that I find him kind of attractive? And that's it. That was my day made. I was like, fuck yeah. I'm as good as D'Elia around here with the amount of females trailing off me. Girl, like, questioning her sanity. Man, have I got Parkinson's here? Or dementia? Or is he borderline attractive? Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, SSE show tickets are on sale for next year. The show is indeed called Unbelievable, and we'll be covering many, many topics that are indeed unbelievable. I'm going to leave yous right now and tile down the back of my legs because I don't know what the fuck is going on with this office. Like, it's roasting. Cheers for listening, guys. Thursday, I'll be recording with Michal de Bartolet. Hopefully with a producer in the room. I'll spend the rest of the day tidying this office, making it presentable for visitors. And phoning BT and being like, what do you mean? You're no fucking Faber, you bastard. And that's it, guys. Take care of yourselves. Just remember, hashtag not all comedians. There's a couple of bad apples out there. I mean, the good thing about me is no one really thinks of me as a pure comedian. As much as I've tried over the years, you know, when I started doing videos and then I started doing comedy, people were like, you're the guy that's trying stand-up that does videos, even though I've been doing it for fucking 10 years straight now. And I've played arenas. People are like, you're still kind of the video guy. And then when it comes to videos, you know, Par Video or someone, they'll be like, man, come on, fucking talk about videos. Even though you're a comedian, no one really gives a shit that you make videos. I'm somewhere in the middle there. So hashtag not all comedians are creeps. A lot of them that I know, too scared to fucking speak to women. You know, you got Aaron McCann there. We'll have some girl, like, you know, pretty much his balls in her mouth. And he's going, does this mean you like me? Should have ended 5 minutes ago. Anyway, we'll spend the rest of the morning looking at present day Shoshana Lonstein-Gross. Hot. I wonder what she does now. Celebs in bikinis. I mean, does she do something by herself now? Or is an American fashion designer and the founder of the label Shoshana, which was launched in 1998? She's 45, bro. Never mind her. She was only warming up when she was 17. She's way hotter now. 45, bro. You see, she was just one of the, you see, that's what's throwing people off, I've just discovered. People get to a certain age, they get hot, and hot people stay hot. Hot people be being hot forever. That's kind of the way it goes. You get the odd fucking, you get the odd person who sort of evolves a wee bit, like, but has the glow up. But most people are good to go from the word go. But you see, that doesn't look weird. And I'm not trying to convince myself here, but like, that looks like Seinfeld there is about 25 and she looks about 25. That's what I'm seeing there. Welcome back to Colin Justifies Predatory Behavior from Famous People. Yeah, look up 45-year-old Shoshana, whatever. Jesus Christ, that's my morning round. Right, I'm going to get out of here before I get me too'd. Take care of yourselves, guys. Try not to be fucking creeps. Just communicate better, you know? Just be like, what's going on here? You know? What age are you? No. Stop being creeps, guys, okay? Just fucking, people are people, man. Just fucking, don't be a cunt. Hashtag dead on mafia. I'm totally, this is what I'm being right now. I'm being the guy who's going, I'm not a racist or a pedophile, so I can talk about it. That's what I'm doing right now. But you know what?
once you know better, you do better. And I'll never know better. So, no, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back Thursday with a podcast from Mickey Bartlett, and we'll figure out a way to do another Q&A or something, some more bonus material. But I will have a producer here, so we can probably pump out a lot more different stuff. I should probably do a little office tour video if anyone would be interested in that. Yeah, let me know. And what time is it? 9:15. I already want my fourth dinner, and I've only been awake for 3 hours. Anyway, I'll get the fuck out of here. Cheers for listening. Hopefully in the next couple of podcasts, this background will return to the nice bricks, as usual. But anyway, take care, guys. Take care of yourselves. And just make sure you're banging people roughly your own age. Pretty sure Larry David wrote most of that anyway, so Seinfeld can fucking suck my dick and die. Right, see you later. Big kisses, guys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.